music icon Artie Kornfeld, one of the most successful writers in rock history, with over 65 songs on the chart and over 120 platinum records as composer, publisher, producer, performer, manager, and promoter, comes the official memoir and tell-all story of growing up in the culture of American music. From Artie's breakthrough as the first vice president of rock in the music industry, to his collaboration with some of the biggest legends in music, to the building of a nation, the Woodstock Nation. Continuing in the footsteps of his mother, Shirley Kornfeld, who fought segregation by organizing freedom rides in the 1950s and 60s, Artie has been committed to fighting for freedom since childhood. This memoir is a look into the soul of the development of the rock culture through the eyes of someone who has been on the inside from the beginning, through Woodstock 69 and beyond, to a new spirit of the Woodstock Nation.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and friends, hello. Welcome to the spirit. Oh, rough day, rough couple of days for me. You know, had to face, just a rough couple of days. Anyway, never lost the spirit, and had to face the big one again. And it was very sad. And then a nice thing happened. I got five, it was a terrible thing at first, I got five certified notices from the IRS, and I opened them up, and they were like, I have a payment plan, you know, it seems went through my hospitalization, I was hospitalized a lot this year, but I missed a couple of payments, and it was like, oh my God. So luckily, I first got sick because I worked so hard in Korea to try to pull off the piece at the DMZ concert, and I was really lucky because the guy who answered the phone from the IRS was from Korea. So we started to talk about Korea, and I talked about speaking at the colleges and the kids in Korea, and he was from Korea, and then he said, thanks for what you did to the kids in our country, he said, what he did is just raise me like $5 a month on my plan, you know, so I didn't have to come up with this amount that I really couldn't come up with, you know, so I could do a Facebook thing. Send Artie Kornfeld a dollar. He has to fight the IRS. Anyway, if you talk to people, realize these are people just trying to make a living and that are just grateful I have a job. What am I going to say? We've all come to look for America, and it's just crazy. It's like, it's even too sickening to talk about. What I hear these people saying, the Tea Party, the right wing, the guys at the Koch brothers and the big money people, and it's around the world. It's not just in America. When I was in India 3 years ago, I told Caroline when I got home, I could see America becoming this way, with people out of food, you know, stealing in the streets like you see in India, you know. And we better think about getting out and doing something. I hallucinated, I think, and then my dream just before the show that I had, a bunch of people from a state in the Midwest went right to them, made an appointment to go see their congressman to ask why 80% of the people who put them in want the this or that bill to pass, and why is he voting the other way, and telling him right to his face, you know, with publicity, publicizing when they went. It'd be funny for people from states all over the country start to do that. I'm sure a lot of guys would start thinking about it. They're not going to have their job anymore, you know, and all the lobbyists that they have that, you know, wine and dine them won't matter because they won't have their jobs. Anyway, interesting show tonight for me because I am not the age of this show, but something exciting about the Ruby Spirit, Page Boy or Page, super interesting. Has been to India, and very much into yoga and very much into music that I sort of classify, like, to me it reminds me of when alternative rock came out during the Iggy Pop days back in the 80s. And so tonight, the Ruby Spirit is the name of the band, and from Canada, and with Paige Boy, the writer and the singer, and might have even engineered it. Who knows? She's very talented in that way. And here's a song called Caligari by the Ruby Spirit. And by the way, I see it on Facebook. You people are getting spirit even more. And I congratulate you. You're strong people. We are a strong people here. Let's show it. You know, yeah, peace, but power to the people too. So the Ruby Spirit.
They did not ask to be brought into the world, but into the world they came.
Yeah.
I'm here with Paige Boy, or Paige.
Hello.
Who is the group? And you know what, Paige, when I first heard this, I was sort of interested, and I'll tell you one thing. This is definitely rock and roll. You know, you're a rocker.
Thank you, Artie.
Yeah, that's a compliment. You're a pure rocker. That is rock and roll. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, because my guests tend to be known people or bands that are blues singers, more bluesy and stuff. You know, this is one of the most honest, straight ahead rock and roll music I've had on. So
thank you very much.
Way to go.
That's awesome from you already. Thank you.
I don't know what I'm saying all the time anyway. I mean, after fighting with the IRS and having to bury my youngest cousin. No, it was. I didn't bury her. I mean, just losing her. You know,
right.
It was just a weird couple of days. But you know what? I have the spirit. I always have the spirit, and I always keep the spirit. You know, and just be this. You know, you have the spirit of Woodstock, and you're 24, and it's now. I think it's not the spirit of Woodstock. It's really the spirit about peace and love through music.
Yeah, in our case, the Ruby Spirit. That's kind of where the band name comes from. It's a collective of whoever wants to be part of that spirit.
I'm going to sue you because my company is called the Spirit of the Woodstock Nation. No, I won't. I won't. Yeah, I'm saying it out public. She has the permission to use the name. You know, she also comes from two people that are friends of mine, who I manage or represent her for a very long time. Also pros. How did you, God, you're very young and you've done an awful lot. I mean, what's the first thing in your life that happened that affected you? It doesn't even have to be about music. I was just curious. What's the first thing that you realized affected you?
That affected me probably, the divorce of my parents. It's a very young age.
Really? How old were you?
I was about 8 and I had a younger sister. I was 8 or 9. I don't remember much actually before that age, other than what I've seen in videotape and pictures.
Right. How did it affect you at 8? Were you aware of a loss or?
Well, I was. I've always been a very observant sort of sponge person, and I soaked it all in, and I think it was sort of like, it kind of made me grow up a little too fast, I always felt, because suddenly, you know, I was my sister's shoulder, and my mother's shoulder, and my father's shoulder, you know, so it was like caught in this whirlwind.
Well, you got through it, you know, and when
yeah,
when
I mean, lots, lots of people.
When did the music hit? I mean, did the music hit? At what age did the music come into your spirit?
Very early.
Really?
Very early, I'd say. I mean, there's really, you know, even as a baby, I was a total ham. You know, singing songs for tapes that would be sent away to family members and stuff. But I got into musical theater actually as an outlet with my sister and my dad shortly after their divorce. And we would do community theater, and we would be in the chorus, or, you know, me and my sister would have small parts in plays and stuff. And we would do it with my dad on weekends. And I think that was the first sort of organized sort of musical thing that I did, other than choirs here and there growing up.
Okay. Well, we're going to dive further on that, but let's play some music. And
yeah,
I'm curious, especially since I was talking about America, where we definitely need to fix and repair. In fact, the whole world, we need to fix and repair, and the title is Fix and Repair. And I watch, because my Lady Caroline, you know, really... I always had TV on, and I start to watch a lot of the political shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm definitely a very socialist, liberal kind of person that thinks that people should share more in their countries. Like you have in Canada, you have a health plan, and we're having trouble even keeping a little bit of a health plan here.
And
it's funny, the people with all the money that could afford to pay, the ones that are fighting the people without money, you're having it. So it's sort of strange. So, Fix and Repair by the Ruby Spirit.
Who do you love when there's nobody?
the spirit. I could feel the spirit tonight. What a rock and roll night, thanks to Paige from the Ruby Spirit. So, Paige, when did you decide to form a formal musical entity? Were you going to be a solo first, or when did it come to put it together, the Ruby Spirit concept?
Well, I think I always knew I wanted it as a band. I went straight to the jugular on that one, and met Jason, the drummer, and just through high school, and piece by piece, we put together the band several years ago when we were, 15, 16. For me, it was, at that time, it was about singing and thinking, you know what, yeah, I can sing, but, I want to make records. I want to have a band. I want to write songs. And just the artists at the time that were inspiring me brought me to that point.
Yeah, I was just like you, I swear, only a little earlier, because my first single came out when I was in the 10th grade. In high school, and 58 was my first single. Could you believe that? That's like a million years ago to you. That's like just a, to me, that's just like a minute. 10 years, it's a minute. But I'm here and I'm going strong, Fixed Repair. I heard what you say. What were you feeling inside about the song? What got you to write that particular song?
Well, Fix or Repair evolved as a story that Alex and I, the other songwriter of the Ruby Spirit, Alex Glick, we had the Fix or Repair, the chorus lyrics, who will you love when there's nobody there to pump all your blood to fix and repair. And we thought, it's an emotional damage, but it's also like a physical damage. So I started this story about this kind of naive girl who gets in a car with a stranger, and it inevitably ends to her demise, as by the end of the track, there's a tragic car crash, and she realizes that she was kind of trapped in it, and she made the wrong choices, and she did it for love, but it was not the right choice, I guess.
Yeah, it's very strange, because I had a number record that went to number 3 by Jan and Dean called Dead Man's Curve that I wrote with Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
I put a car wreck in that song, because it was the same thing. The song wasn't really about a car race, which it seems like, but it's about coming to the point in the road when you have to decide whether to go left or right, to live or die. And this, when I just stopped the writing, I said, Brian, I want to put an accent here.
Yeah.
So it's sort of so weird. I mean, I had the same motivations that you had.
Yeah, yeah.
It was in 1963, and you were like minus 200 years old.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sinister kind of concept, but it's so common. It's choices.
Oh, yeah. Every day, That's what I try to say on the political side. Sorry if I go there, babe, but it's a lot of what the show's about. Because now we're sharing our time. And actually, it's the time the audience is while we're here. And, thank you, audience. Thank you, people who listen to the show every week, by the way. It's really good to know that we're all around the world and that there's hundreds of thousands of people. It's just mind-blowing.
It's so mind-blowing that, we can still reach this amount of people, and that you're letting alternative acts that wouldn't necessarily get their first shot on radio to just be heard. So thank you for that.
Yeah, my pleasure. So, is this out, or is this coming out, or?
Born Under a Veil came out last September. We released it in Toronto. Currently, we've got a singles deal with AGB Records out of New York and LA, and we've just recorded a new single, Evolution Sickness, and we've been working on actually a cover song. Actually, it was our management's idea to Peter to record a long-lost Apple single that was executively produced by John Lennon. Now, Peter actually told me that you knew John Lennon.
Well, when you read the book, you'll get to that. You're reading the book, so you're going to get to that part.
Okay, so I gotta wait for the book.
Yeah, because I've already told the story on here through 5 times.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we were friends for. In fact, May Pang was on my show, and she's who lived with John in his last couple of years, you know, and she was on and wound up getting a couple of million hits. You know, the people that heard about it, and a couple of million hits. I think over 2 million. Because a lot came out about John, and it was really weird because May and I were both there during this period of time in John's life. So, yeah, I knew Paul too. Now, I ran Capitol Records, and the Apple Corp, was Capitol Records. So I had business reasons. I knew Paul, probably years before I met John. You know, Paul was like great to hang out with, and John was just like always. I was always sort of amazed. Just the way he thought and the way he expressed himself. But I guess everybody was, so, a little more rock and roll, a little more Ruby Spirit. From you, it's true.
Don't ask me about the setting sun. Don't ask me.
spirit. Yeah, so here we are at all times. You know, people are, there's a whole group of people in England that stay up till 3 in the morning to hear the show. It's sort of strange. There's one group, you know. It was sort of strange because I got a whole bunch of emails from Ecuador, and I couldn't understand one of them because I don't speak Spanish or read Spanish, although I did take Spanish, but it was so long ago I think I forgot. You know, so here you are with the Ruby Spirit. Have you played yet or done any concerts? Or you have any plan? Any?
Oh yeah, our next show actually is in Cleveland on the 22nd of December, but we focus mostly now on playing. We played Brooklyn and Buffalo, Manhattan. We try and get down to Brooklyn at least once a month. I think it's really where the band.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I am from Brooklyn. A New York Yankee fan, but from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know all the places to be.
Yeah. Well, you could take Toronto. That's
yeah.
your team, if you're into
yeah.
that. So, you went to India?
Do I like India? I love India.
Yeah, because I've been to India a number of times, and I was talking to Peter, and he told me you were there, and you had a different trip because you got to see the real spiritual places, and I was there trying to put together a peace concert, feed the poor people concert. So I never really got out of Mumbai.
Wow.
So I was sort of locked there. You know, the times I was there, I was in India about 3 weeks total, but I didn't get to go anywhere but to meetings. You know, so it was like, and the stuff I saw there was so depressing. You know, I know the spiritual side, and my friend is the biggest. You know, he's Guru Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who has 85 million followers in India, and he's a friend of mine. So that made the trip nice because, you know, just one hug from him and your back pain goes away, and if you meditate,
yeah.
it becomes easier to transcend. And you know, it just it's amazing, 85 million followers. And he runs UNICEF for the United Nations with Nelson Mandela. So he represents Richard Branson as part of the Art of Living Foundation. So we became friends. That was something I had got experience that was, you know, more precious to me than backstage meetings and all that, because I stopped
oh, yeah.
going to concerts. I mean, I go and I say hello to little Steven, or I say hello to his backstage if I go, and then I usually leave a concert. You know, I just go out of respect because I was given tickets, and now I sort of stopped doing that. Unless I'm sorry I missed Paul Simon was here because he's such a great writer, and I know him since he was in high school. And he was in Miami, and I really wanted to see Paul because, you know, I opened the show with "They've All Come to Look for America" by Bert Sommer that I produced, and I was around when he was writing it, so I was sorry I missed Paul down here. Would have been the first time I actually called to try to get tickets or anything, and like
yeah.
probably 40 years. I never bought a ticket to go into a place. Yes, I was in the business so young, and you're in the business so young. You know, you're.
Yeah.
I'm a little ahead of you on age, but you know, your music sounds great. You know, you really have evolved very rapidly. You know, and what stuck out the most to you about India? What you saw.
Well, we were mostly in the northern state. We were in Rajasthan mostly. We started out driving to Jaipur, singing a McCartney song, in the 10-hour drive. But what stuck out the most was, I'd say, Rishikesh, because we visited the Beatles ashram that they stayed in, where a lot of the songs from, you know, the White Album was composed, and where I'd say George Harrison and John Lennon, but mostly George Harrison, you know, really kind of.
Yeah, Lennon got me into meditating, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, I started in '67, the year they went to India and came back, when they came back. It was a Paul. But anyway, that's where I got my mantra in '67.
Yeah.
you know, still works. Only I transcend, and I could stop talking to you and transcend within 10 minutes.
Yeah. Or five. The only thing I didn't get, I didn't get my own mantra. Maybe next time I go, I'll have to.
Yeah. I can give you on the phone. If you call me, I'll give you a mantra and take you right through it. It's really easy.
All right.
You know, it's not hard at all. It really helps when, you know, it really helps center you. You know, not that I'm at centered or balanced, but this is the best I can do. I'm the best man I can be.
Yeah. That's why I do yoga, because it just brings it all back home. And, you know, even exercise, aside from the spiritual side of it, even just the exercise of giving yourself that hour and a half.
Well, if I got in one of those positions, you'd have to call the paramedics. Right. So anyway, a song from the Ruby Spirit called Ruby Dog. I had a dog and his name was Ruby.
Hit the plans at the bottom of the dark.
Talking about India and where she went this. I never got to go to those places. I would have loved to. You know, Paige, I think by not seeing, honestly, you missed a big part of India by not seeing the way most of India lives, and that's, if you would have hit around Mumbai and you would have seen the horror of having like, you know, like we have, you know, what, 200 million people, and they have like almost 3 billion people, and it's so frightening, and people are so starving, it really makes you realize, you know.
Well, there's that constant reality check of so many of the luxuries that, you know, we take for granted here. And, yeah, it was shocking. I mean, there were a lot of moments where, you know, it was just, you know, hitting you straight between the eyes.
Well, that was Ruby Dog. And did you notice a lot of dogs, like gray dogs all over the place?
Yeah, there were like gangs of dogs throughout the streets, and it was one dog wandered into the wrong area, the other dogs would push them out, and, you know, yeah, it was strange, but they call them country dogs, is what they told us. They don't keep them as pets, they're free dogs.
Wow, you know, it was sort of a bummer, because there I am, and I'm at the Taj Palace, they give me this fancy room overlooking the gateway to India, where people first came to India, supposedly, and I wake up in the morning, I look out there, and there's six dead dogs laying there. I was on the 19th floor, and there were six dead dogs, and I couldn't believe there was, in that lot, there was a market during the day. There must have been 40,000 people in like 35 yards. It was crazy, and, you know, it was a little frightening, and I saw America could be that way, because with the very wealthy, you know, wanted to keep it all. And that's where India is at, with the 1% controlling 99% of the money. And America's heading that way, and these people, this Tea Party movement here is very much, you know, if you don't believe what we believe, and if you don't do what we say, yeah, you know, and it's a little frightening. But I really think the spirit of America, since you're the Ruby Spirit, will return. Do you have any friends whose grandfathers or fathers came to Canada from America because they didn't want to go to Vietnam?
No, not from America. No, some of my family immigrated from England, but I'm like seventh generation Canadian on my father's side, and on my mother's side we have a lineage to Austria and Germany.
So did you have friends in school and stuff, though, that whose parents were from America originally?
You know, I didn't know a lot of Americans, truthfully, until I left high school and started traveling there and meeting, you know, new circles of people. I can't say I know someone, a fact that had someone who escaped the Vietnam War.
Yeah, well, I would have been there. You know, they wouldn't take me because my back was hurt in a football game. And it's, you know, it's still getting worse, and it's been for a long time, but they wouldn't take me. I wasn't going to argue with them, believe me. I would have left the country.
Well, you were supposed to be here anyway, right?
Oh, right, because someone had to fight him.
Yeah.
So, and helps. We all wanted, our generation, we wanted to stop the war in Vietnam. We didn't put us in there. You know, now I'm sure the younger generations want to stop all these wars, you know, and I'm hoping that's going to take it, that the younger generations are going to have the spirit that we had, and I think the Woodstock Nation lost, and I think it's back four generations later, and I really think people your age are starting to think about you know, where it's really at, and that, you know, people have to start being nice to each other and sharing with each other if this world's going to have any chance for peace. You know, people have to share, you know. I always love that song, Come On People Now, Smile On Your Brother, Everybody Get Together, Try
Brother.
To Get Away. Buffalo Springfield. So, here you are. We have one song left from you. Everything's been great, really great rock. And I'll sort of say goodnight to you. And if you want to call me during the week just to talk, feel free.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, be fun to talk, yeah, right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I'm younger than you are. You're probably more mature than me. So if I act a little immature, you know, that's...
Well, 13, somewhere around there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I'd say I'm like a spoiled 14-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You know, I want what I want. No, I'm not that way. I never wanted what I want. I wanted it when I was a kid, and my family loved me, so I got it. We were sort of poor. My dad had three jobs and stuff, and you know, it's just sort of weird to see you finally get all the things you think you want, and then have it, and you didn't really want it at all. So, so we'll just say goodnight to you with Tim Canby's, and I thank you so much for being here tonight. And,
I want to thank quickly Bruce Moser, who's really looks up to you. We look up to Bruce Moser a ton, and he got us in contact through Peter and Bruce, and I'm really glad this happened, so thank you, and thank you to Bruce.
Yeah, me too, and thank you for a great night of rock. And they're also a very good rap, so talk to you soon.
Definitely.
What a great night with Ruby Spirit. Quite amazing girl, Paige. You know, that was real rock and roll. It was good to have a night of just rock and roll. And just threw me back because Bert Summers opened the show. And I played Bert not because I produced him. I played Bert because Michael Wadley, who produced the Woodstock movie, which, well, Michael and I did, but he was a director. And he's such a good artist. It amazes me when I hear him. So I like to go out because he wrote "We're All Playing in the Same Band" for my wife and I when we were in trouble at Woodstock. And it really helped me through a very rough part of Woodstock. And I put it out on my label I had with Michael, and then Michael left the company, and I put it out about a year later. And it was a hit. It went top 30. But it did get the only standing ovation at Woodstock, was Bert's version of America. And I was in the film, but because of politics, it couldn't be in. So Bert, for you and for everybody out there, keep the spirit, hold the light. We are winning. We are winning. Look at these idiots on TV. And if you could take them for more than 5 minutes, I mean, how could you take it? I mean, everybody's entitled to believe what they believe, but I can't believe what these people are saying, at least me. So either way, we're all playing in the same band. We just got to increase the number of people that start playing again. If there's a lot in the band that is sitting on the sidelines, jump in and play. And we are all playing in the same band, and hold the spirit.
We're all playing in the same band. There's enough guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing. Finally, we're all playing in the same band. Sing the song together and you'll see. Let them know forever just where you stand. People must be learning finally.